Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, a location where you'll find that we deal with real issues that men face, not only on a daily basis, but on an hourly basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. It's about bringing light into the darkness. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. The Word of God is truth, and it is what we secure and hang on to, because that is truly the right way to be going. It is for me, and if you're tired of the way things are going on in your life, there's only one suggestion I give you. Submit. Submit to Him. You know, this show here is all about being able to, like I had said earlier, bringing light into darkness. Or bringing that darkness out into the light. Any way you look at it, darkness can't stay in light. It flees. So when perfection shows up, imperfection goes away. The brother I have with me today is Steve. Welcome, brother. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Raul. One comment on your introductory statement. When perfection has come, then imperfection flees. Yes. And what you and I have both proved in life is that we're not perfect.
Yes.
We're being sanctified. We're not as good as we're going to be, but yes, we're not as bad as we used to be. We're in a process,
yes,
and the perfect one is Jesus.
Amen.
And when Jesus comes,
that's it.
That's when the darkness,
yes,
goes. That's when the imperfection flees.
Well, thanks for that clarification, because I don't want anyone to ever think that I come close to being there, or even misunderstand.
Well, you know, and oftentimes people feel that way about the Christian walk. They,
mm-hmm,
feel like, well, I'm not going to try it because I can't do it. I can't live like that. And that's the whole point,
yes,
of resurrection Sunday morning, and that's the whole point, is you and I can't do it.
Right.
But Christ comes, the perfect one, and He lives in us,
mm-hmm,
and then it's His life living out through us, and we're able to experience His power and live a life that we would have never been able to live before. So
yes,
there's hope in Jesus.
Yes. Well, the main topic of today, I think we might have teased it up about being able to sleep well or something like that.
That's it, about what does a man do to get a good night's sleep in this pressurized day and age we live in.
Well, we look forward to that. In the meantime, we end up kicking off the show, besides Raul ramping up a little bit, is listening to an email that someone has sent in, and then given our experience, our strength, and maybe some encouragement from the Word of God. And in either case, we've received one, or a couple of them, I should say, that you're looking over there right now, Steve. And you got one picked out?
Well, I do have one picked out this morning. And it's not an uncommon issue that many families face. And it reads, this sister writes today, what suggestions do you have for dealing with my husband's alcohol problem? He really has a good heart, and he is a good provider for us. However, he continues to relapse into drinking. He will get sober for maybe 6 months, and then he'll end up on a 2-month drinking spree. I don't think sending him to a treatment center is a wise choice for my family, because he could not afford to be away from work that long. He has tried 8A, but doesn't like it there. Do you have any other ideas?
Well, this is sort of my realm, been my realm for the last 30-some years of recovery. But, you know, one of the things that I appreciate is the fact is that that she is willing to say, hey, what can we do here to be able to continue to keep this family together? That's so, so important. I mean, when you're reaching out even to the radio show, you know, and saying, hey, this is... One more time, I've got to find something that's going to be able to give me some hope of being able to say, what can I do to be able to, or what can I, you know, how can I make things right so that he sees maybe the light? You know, one of the things about this, as they would say, the disease of alcoholism, is that, of course, the drinking is just a symptom of what the real problem is. For me, I found that the real problem had to be with a living problem. And that in ties an awful lot of different experiences in my life, things that I've learned or experienced from a youth all the way to an adult, to where I started my drinking or continued it on until I stopped. Now, one of the things that is for sure is that each and every one of us have just like a different personality, different means of being able to seek a cure, I guess, maybe, or hope, or an idea of, say, in this case here, recovery, okay, being sober. I myself, personally, I've never went to a treatment center. I actually went to AA meetings, and I'm not a spokesman for AA, but that is my experience, okay? I went 12 steps, and I went 3 meetings a day practically for the first 6 months of my sobriety because I did not know how to live. I actually had to ask, what do I do next? You know, I honestly did not know what it was I needed to do. Now, I appreciate the fact that you're sitting here and saying, okay, your husband is a good man. He has a good heart. You know, I've never found, and I'll say it like this, like I tell most guys, I've never found a good alcoholic that I did not like. I tell you what, when they're sober, I don't think I'd want a better employee. I couldn't find one. Someone who's loyal, I couldn't find anyone more loyal than that. You know, I believe that when we're in the midst of my drinking and what I was doing at the time, that it just obliterated everything else about me, and it pushed people away. Well, I'm going to say this about your husband. If he truly desires to stay sober, he will seek out whatever is necessary to be able to continue that on. If for any reason he doesn't get to that place, then, you know, he might have to do a little bit more experimenting, so to speak. But I will say this, if he feels that he does need help and yet there's a means of him saying, you know, I just don't know if I could do it with all the pressures of everything that's taking place in life and work, etc., I can tell you this, a treatment center might be the place to go, but one thing I do know for sure is that it's not that you cannot afford for him not to be able to go to a treatment. You cannot afford for him not to go to a treatment center because we're talking about life and death situation here. It's not a matter of him just getting 30 days away from everything. It's 30 days hopefully in praying that everything that he will receive and get, that he would be able to just get that taken care of and be able to hear through his heart what it is that needs to take place. So it does require some a point of actually bringing that to the surface, but I believe in the case, maybe even talking with his employer. If he feels that this is something that maybe the employer might be able to assist here. There's means and different services of being able to minimize the cost of treatment. Yes, there is outpatient treatment where he can be going to work and doing things outside. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But then again, it really depends on the individual. If his true desire is to stop drinking, knowing that that is a problem, he's got to be at that place, and someone's got to be willing other than you. It's got to be a good friend or someone that he trusts, okay, to be able to get in front of him and say, what are you ready to do? Are you ready to go to any length? That's my 2 cents worth this morning.
Well, I think that's well stated, and obviously you're speaking out of a lifetime of experience, not on your own, but having walked this path with many other individuals. Just a couple of comments. Every home has a structure. And people begin operating within those structures unknowingly. And so when there is an alcoholic in the home, it means everyone else in the home begins to structure their life around that person's alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And the structure itself perpetuates oftentimes the behavior. So in terms, she's asking for other ideas. And I just have two comments here, Raul. First of all, I would encourage this woman to find a group of her own, Al-Anon or some group in her church, because the structure is going to have to change. She has no control over him, nor should she try to control him, which only leads to a whole other set of problems, which engages her in his practice of alcoholism at a deeper level. So I would encourage her, find a group, work on yourself, work on your own issues. And obviously we're going to encourage her to pray and to seek God and to draw near to God. And God promises, you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. But the other thing I would want to suggest is, and I just had this conversation with someone last week, and their statement was, well, I went to AA, I've been going for the last couple of weeks, but I don't like the group, and I'm not like the people in the group. And sometimes people think that every AA group or every recovery group is the same. Just like before I was a Christian, I thought all churches were the same. Mm-hmm. They were just on different corners in the city. And the reality is they're all different. There's a different combination of temperaments and values, and sometimes there's sociology that plays into it. Sometimes it's an age thing. And I said to this person, I said, listen, if this group isn't working for you, there are other kinds of groups. There are other groups at other times in other places. But don't just go and have an experience or a couple of experiences and close the door on that possibility forever. If AA has proved one thing to us, perhaps more than anything else, is nobody solves this problem on their own.
Amen.
That's an absolute. And so I would say to this woman, basically, that's my three suggestions. Number one, work on yourself, deal with your own issues, read books, get in a group, have fellowship, grow personally, changes the structure in your home. Recognize that don't close the door on one opportunity simply because it wasn't a meaningful experience, but stay open to the Lord, allow him to lead and guide. And the other thing is never, ever, ever, ever accept the situation and give up. Nobody does this on their own. Find fellowship, model the way, change the structure.
All right, some good stuff. And just so that you know, you can go on the website for Al-Anon is Al-Anon, A-L-A-N-O-N, .org or com. Either one, it'll go directly to that site. And you can put in the city that you live in, and they will give you all the information that you will need. So thank you for sending that in, and God bless you and your family. When we get back, we will find out what it is that we could do to actually have a good night's sleep. As men, you're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox. And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices. And guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and you know, we're kicking off the week of Holy Week here, and I've got my brother Steve in the studio with me today. And, you know, we've kicked off the last two times that he's been on with Psalm 1 and kind of just, you know, it's just so meaningful. Just want to, I just picture myself as that tree right next to that wellspring, so to speak. And I just, and it's just so good. It reminds me about how important the Word of God is in my life. And we're going to kick it off even a little bit more in Psalm 4 is one that you've talked about.
Yeah, we're going to look at Psalm 4 today. It's only 8 verses long, but there are some clues in here to solve the problem that many men face today. Raul, let me ask you, in your dealings with men, how frequently do you hear a man say, I can't sleep at night, or I got up in the middle of the night and got on my computer or got in the refrigerator? Do you hear that with some regularity?
You know, I could probably tell you on the number of men on one hand that have said that they've not had a problem with that. The rest of them have.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just amazing how, yes.
Well, I know in my dialogue with men, it comes up all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, we understand that there are medical reasons, sleep apnea and other issues that a man might have that would keep him from getting a good night's sleep. But I believe that for many men, there's a restlessness in their soul, that there is an unresolved conflict going on within them that troubles them and robs them of this physical rest and also of spiritual rest. So some things have never changed. David faced the same issues that we face in a different time, in a different context. The men of his era faced danger, they faced struggle, they had to provide. They were challenged in their relationships. And so it's interesting to me that David, this man after God's own heart, he seems to raise the question of this problem, and then he gives us a solution. So if I may, let me read the fourth psalm. It's 8 short verses. David writes this, "Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me, and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself, and the Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." Amen. Now, let me frame this morning. David begins in verse 1. By crying out to God, "Answer me when I call upon you, and give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me, and hear my prayer." Now, notice there is emotion involved in this. David's crying out to God. He's lifting his heart up to the Lord, and he says, "Give me relief from my distress." So there's tension in his life. We don't know what the cause of it is at this particular moment. We don't know where it's coming from, but he's stressed. He's under some kind of pressure, and he makes this appeal to God. Then in verse 2, and this is obviously poetic, but he turns it around and gives God's response. So in verse 1, David is saying, "Lord, hear me. I'm in distress. Give me relief." And in verse 2, he prophetically speaks the word of the Lord. And the Lord says, "How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame?" Now that's a question. Mm-hmm. So we have the glory of God. We have the person of God. As you mentioned earlier, God is all light. In him there is no darkness at all. Mm-hmm. And David's saying, and he's not just speaking for himself, but he's speaking for all men. And he's saying, I'm in distress. I need relief. And God's saying, I know you're in distress. I know you need relief. But let me ask you, how long will you continue to turn my glory into shame? And then he asks a second question. How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Hmm. Now, I want to ask you, Raoul, and we're going to get into the solution here in a moment, but what do you think the Lord meant when he says back to man, how long will you turn my glory into shame? Mm-hmm. So we've got glory here, bright, shining light, the glory of God. And then down here, we've got this shadowy darkness of shame. Mm-hmm. What do you think that means?
Well, I believe that is, he's asking me, how long are you going to keep going down this trail, this path that you think is the right one? That you continue to maybe keep hitting your head up against the wall, but you keep thinking, well, this time it's going to be different. I'm a little older, a little wiser, or maybe I have a little bit more money, or maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way. I'm going to look at it a different way. Keep trying to keep going down this path, expecting a different result. And it's not working. I keep turning away and not going to God and asking him to show me his glory that will actually lighten my path or show me the correct path to go down. So I just continue to keep doing it my way. Maybe in the fact that I so desire in the flesh something more than desiring to be glorifying him.
So, and Proverbs gives us a picture of what you just said. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but right. The ends thereof are the ways of death.
Yes.
Now, notice that David says that he's seeking relief from his distress. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you another question before we go to the next line. Mm-hmm. So if there are two pathways here, one that brings glory to God and one that leads to our devastation, destruction, and undoing. Mm-hmm. How does a man find relief from God? Or, if he doesn't turn to God, what kinds of things does a man turn to relieve his stress?
Oh, brother, that opens a whole can for me, in a sense. Now, if I look back in my past, I sought relief in my what I was trying to avoid or my distress, so to speak, through my drinking. I did it with drugs. I did it with women. More money to be able to do the things that I wanted to do. Those were the things that I was looking to fill that hole, so to speak. That I
what about food? Can a man try to relieve
absolutely.
His...
Oh, yeah, just continue to eat. And
what about hours and hours and hours of television?
Yes, yes. And thank goodness the internet wasn't there when I was in the midst of all that stuff because I'd be spending awful lot of time there also.
So it's natural for us as men to try to seek relief from what stresses us out.
Right.
In fact, I think a lot of men, they punch the clock at the end of the day and they go home and that's a moment of relief.
Mm-hmm.
Tension has to resolve itself.
Mm-hmm.
But basically the scripture telling us here, David's saying, I'm in distress, I'm crying out to you, I've got this tension in my life,
right.
And the Lord's saying, well, I understand you have this tension in my life, but how long will you continue to turn my glory into shame? In other words, mm-hmm. how long will you continue to try to resolve that tension the wrong way?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you and I both know is that the things that we naturally seek to resolve the tension, it lessens the pain for the moment, but it only creates more tension.
Yes.
You drink too much, you get intoxicated, you feel better for the moment, but you get in your car and you drive the rest of the way home, you get pulled over, you get a ticket, you now have to go to court, you've got more stress in your life than you had before, so you get intoxicated again.
Mm.
And then you get in a fight with your wife and now you've got more stress. You're so stressed out you can't go to work the next day, so you lose your job. Now you got more stress. And I mean, it's just a cycle. And the next line here says, how long will you love delusions?
Hmm.
And that's the delusion. The delusion is that we're going to find that relief
right.
apart from God.
Hmm.
That's a lie from Satan. It's a delusion. And then he goes on to say, and seek false gods. And you said it. We make a god out of our reputation. We make a god out of our money. We make a god out of our pleasure. Mm-hmm. We make a god out of our comfort. Mm-hmm. And so here's the tensions. David's saying, I need relief. I'm feeling the stress. Be merciful to hear my prayer. And God says, okay, well, how long then are you going to keep doing this? In other words, at some point, you have to make a decision to go a different direction if you want to get a different result. Mm-hmm. And that's so critical. In fact, you know, as men, we ought to write that someplace where we see it all the time. Right. You have to go a different direction if you want to get a different result. It can't come out any other way. Give me the definition of insanity.
Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So what's beautiful about this fourth psalm is it doesn't just leave us there saying, okay, go a different direction. Mm-hmm. But it's going to give us very specific methodologies in order to do that, mm-hmm. to bring relief from this stress. So the Lord goes, so the scripture goes on to say here in verse 4, here's the solution. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Now, here's what I want to point out this morning. There is certain emotions that are expressed here. If you'll notice in verse 1, we have the emotion of distress or stress or fear, mm-hmm. that tension in our lives. Mm-hmm. But then you'll notice in verse 4, we have the emotion of anger. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice anger when you're on your bed and you're angry. And we know right. another place, the right. scripture says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. There's a major problem there. And how many of us go to bed and our last thoughts are, we're seething with anger. But notice in verse 7, there's the emotion of joy. And then in verse 8, there's the emotion of peace. Mm-hmm. So we have distress and anger go together. We have joy and peace go together. So the scripture tells us here in verse 4, to search your heart and be silent. Now, I think many times when we read this verse, a man starts cataloging all of his failures and his shortcomings and his sins, and instead of lowering his stress level, it really begins to raise mm-hmm. his stress level. But I want to suggest that a good exercise for you and I and for all men is when you're getting into bed at night to search your heart and ask yourself, am I going to bed with distress and anger, or am I going to bed with joy and peace? Mm-hmm. Now, I think the answer is obvious, but I know in your own experience, have you ever had a time when you've gone to bed in distress and anger?
Oh, absolutely.
And what's that like? What's that experience like?
Well, you know, you just kind of rumble and tumble, and you can't stop the thinking. And you cannot get to that place of
can't turn your brain off.
Can't turn your brain off.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I remember in days past how I used to deal with that sort of thing, drink until I pass out. But see, no longer do I have that. Okay. So I have to deal with it in the reality. And the reality for me is really being able to realize that I don't have control over an awful lot of these things. But maybe there are some things that I need to take care of, but I bring the Lord into the midst of it. Okay? I have to say, Lord, take this from me. You know exactly what it is I need to do. Father, allow me to be able to sleep well tonight so that tomorrow I'm empowered and strengthened and encouraged, and I have discernment and wisdom that you lay on my heart to do the things I need to take care of so I do not feel this any longer.
Well, you just said something very interesting. So there were moments that you can look back to where you literally drank yourself into a stupor.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have to deal with the anger and the distress.
Absolutely.
Now that's a clue, isn't it? And that anger and distress are triggers that push us into certain behaviors. We're just trying to numb out the reality. But let me ask you this. Was there ever a time when you went to bed angry and distressed that you woke up in the morning and everything had changed and now it was all right?
Never. I always woke up with more fear, it seemed like. If I got any sleep at all, I'd be upset because of the fact I didn't sleep well. I've got a headache, and you know, I'm not drinking, so why do I have a headache? Why are my eyes red as can be? And I'm still youthful at that age, so it's like not because of age or anything, but all of a sudden I'm sitting here, I'm going, now I've got to kick off the day this way. And look out if that cup of coffee is not good and hot, you know?
That's right. That's right. And then you get through the day so you can annihilate your pain again at the end.
That's it.
And it's a never-ending cycle.
Right.
So, and I'd like, you know, it'd be nice if we could say, well, this only happens to guys who don't know the Lord.
Mm.
But whether the source of our stress is something ungodly or whether the source of our stress is just something that comes from life.
Right.
Concern for our jobs, our children, our ministries, it could be any number of things. There is that potential that if we don't deal with it, it's going to wreak havoc on our lives and rob us and keep us from seeing the glory of God. So after the break, we're going to talk about what does a man do then to experience the peace and joy that Scripture promises.
Amen. And you are listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com. Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and my name is Raul, and I have Steve in the studio with me, and we're talking about, man, how to be able to get a good night's sleep through the Word of God, and how He just directs us and makes us aware of maybe some of the challenges that that we have or we hold on to, and it gives us, a direction of how not to be able to keep those things in our head. So,
absolutely. So this begins, like everything in life, with a strong foundation. And the foundation here is who is God and what He is like. So the Scripture tells us in verse 1 that He's a righteous God. Verse 1 also tells us that He's a God who gives relief, that He's a merciful God, that He's a listening God, that He hears our prayers. And verse 8 tells us that He's a protecting God. So think about that for a minute. We're getting a picture of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. He's righteous. He gives relief. Mm-hmm. He's merciful. And He protects. And He's able to do that.
Yes.
And so the issue here then is whether we're going to turn towards God in a posture of submission and surrender, mm-hmm. and allow Him to do for us what He's promised to do. So but in this, like in everything in our relationship with God, there are some steps that you and I need to take as men,
mm-hmm.
Some areas of responsibility. And so the first one is that, and David does this, he calls upon the Lord. So mm-hmm. obviously this begins with a sense of prayer. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready to go to bed. It's been a rough day. It's been a brutal day. We've been tested. We've been challenged. We've been charged at. We've been tempted. We've been torn. I mean, all the things that happen to a man in the course of just living his life and being a man.
Right.
And now it's the end of this day, and we're going to rest, and tomorrow we're going to get up and we're going to go at it again. Now, hopefully in the morning, before we leave the house, if that is in fact your schedule, every man is going to know the wisdom of stopping and pushing the pause button in his life and opening his heart in praise and worship to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Here are the tools, man. But if you can't take off a 5/8 nut with a 9/16 inch wrench. So, mm-hmm. you know, you got to reach into your toolbox and grab the right tool. And the right tool is, I'm going to begin the morning by giving glory and praise and honor and adoration towards God. Mm-hmm. And men can do that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to know anything more than you know right now to find a spot in your garage, upstairs in your house, in a back bedroom. It doesn't matter. But you just start telling God, Lord, I love you, I worship you, I praise you, I give you glory. And when you do that, you're tuning your heart to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So that's how tomorrow is going to start. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow doesn't necessarily start when the sun comes up. Tomorrow really starts when you put your head on the pillow mm-hmm. and you're getting ready for tomorrow. And so the scripture says here, in your anger, do not sin on your beds. So in other words, when you get in bed, if you got anger, so search your heart and be silent. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we want to search our heart for all the sins. That just discourages us. I want to suggest when you get in bed at night, you search your heart and you ask yourself, which of these emotions do I have? Do I have anger and stress, or do I have peace and joy? And if you have anger and stress, you're going to sleep with the wrong emotions. So how do you get the peace and the joy? Well, first of all, you honestly search your heart. But then verse 5, David says, offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. So in a New Testament context, you're laying on your bed at night. What kind of sacrifice, Raul, would you offer to God?
Well, I would almost, in a sense, I'd sit there instead of thinking of what they did in the Old Testament, looking for a lamb or a ram or a bull and be able to sacrifice it. I think, in a sense, what I'm doing is offering who I am to Him, saying, Lord, take all of me, the good and the bad. Take it all. I am laying it on the altar here for you. I can't do this. It's a total, not just a surrender, but it's a submission completely. Take me. All of it, every bit, every nook and cranny, every dark spot in here, you know where they are, just take them and let them go and almost have to visualize releasing it.
Okay, so visualize releasing it. So visualize turning my life over to God. That's the end of the day. I'm reflecting back on the day. Mm-hmm. So could you turn over to God the things that day that made you angry?
Yes.
So you literally could say, Lord, mm-hmm. so-and-so really ticked me off today. I'm bitter about it. So how help me now to understand, what would you do with that?
Well, what I end up doing is I end up looking at that situation. I ask the Lord to show me.
Okay, you're searching your heart.
Yeah, I'm searching my heart. Show me how, you know, okay, I'm upset with Bill because Bill did blah, 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 or he said this, and I didn't tell him that I was upset because of what he said. He embarrassed me, or I felt he did, yet I didn't say anything to him. So I guess, Lord, and in that same dialogue, I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, I'm not speaking out loud, but I'm thinking, I could have probably said something to him and probably dealt with it right at that moment in time, and I wouldn't be carrying it all day, because right after that took place, I was so upset when I drove down the road, and this car kind of came over in my area, and I honked, and I sped up a little bit to say, hey, I want to say something. And there was a little old lady who seemed to be scared, you know. And all of a sudden, I created stress in her life, and all of a sudden, before I know it, then I could start. Now, it starts to unveil itself of what was taking place as a result of that one issue. And I held resentment toward him. I blamed him for the way things went the rest of my day.
And carried with you right up till bedtime.
Right up to bedtime.
So now you're laying on your bed and you're reflecting. Yes. So you're saying, you're asking yourself, and this is a simple exercise that every man can do. Mm-hmm. You put your head on your pillow, and just in a moment of honesty, you search your heart, and you say, as I go to sleep tonight, am I filled with stress and anger, or do I have joy and peace? Mm-hmm. Now, if I have stress and anger, I've got two choices. I'm either going to find my relief in the Lord, or I'm going to find my relief someplace else. Mm-hmm. So a man goes to bed, it's 10:30 at night, he's full of anger and stress. He wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning, he can't sleep. He gets up, he gets in the refrigerator, he gets up and he turns on his computer or any number of things because he's so restless in his soul because he's carried this thing with him. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is so practical and so applicable to men's lives. And as we have stated, if we try to seek to relieve that stress in the wrong way, it just creates more stress.
Right.
So if he gets in the refrigerator or he gets in the liquor cabinet or he gets in the pills in the medicine cabinet, mm-hmm. or he turns on his computer and he goes down the pathway of pornography, at 2 o'clock in the morning, that might seem to make him feel better, but you know what? He's going to get up in the morning. He's had a bad night's sleep. He's condemned. He doesn't feel good about who he is. He starts his day off wrong. He's carrying with him the same anger and stress he went to bed with. And this thing turns into a snowball, and this goes on for weeks and months and years. And all of a sudden the guy, you know, he has a major moral catastrophe in his life. And somebody says, well, what happened to Joe?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Joe's been losing ground night after night, week after week, month after month. Now, the alternative here is, as you mentioned, you're getting in bed and you're taking an inventory.
Mm-hmm.
You're searching your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about looking for all the imperfections in your life,
right.
but simply ask yourself the question, do I have stress and anger?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I have peace and joy?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we turn towards the Lord, and you said it, offer up to God a right sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're saying is, I am offering my life back to God. Lord, mm-hmm. here I am, Holy Spirit, come and mold me, make me, shape
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
I release out of my spirit
mm-hmm.
the wrong things I've done today, the wrong things that other people have done to me today. And I allow you, and look at verse 7, it says, you have filled my heart. Well, actually, back up to verse 6, who can show us any good? Well, the answer, who can show us any good? The answer is God.
Mm-hmm.
Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. Mm-hmm. So you're laying in bed,
mm-hmm.
and you've turned your face towards Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and you're giving it to him, you're surrendering. Describe that peace for me.
You know, it's sort of being able to lay there and know that he has me. All of a sudden, all the truth of his word that I've heard before, all of a sudden envelops me and he holds me. He says, I've got you. Just stay here with me. I'll direct you. Sleep well tonight. You know, it's almost like being an infant and being in those secure arms of that parent or that grandparent or that individual that loves you, wants nothing of you other than just to care for you. And what's the very best for you?
It's surrender.
Surrender.
To someone who's more powerful than we are.
Absolutely.
Greater than we are.
Right.
Now, you do that, and you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. What are you going to do?
I'm going to give it back to him.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
You do it right over again.
Exactly right. And you know what? I just, unless there's a medical or physiological problem, I guarantee you, if you'll do that over a period of time, you'll break the pattern that has been stamped on your life. And you as a man will be nurtured by the Spirit of God even as you sleep. Because basically, if you can get this picture, when you go to sleep, you are either opening your spirit to God or you are closing your spirit to God.
Mm, amen.
Because your brain keeps working all night long.
Mm. Amen. We come back from the break. We're going to just remind you one more time that it's the open and closing, but who are you going to open and close it to? You are listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, bench marker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments Anniversary Event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Welcome back to Banner Brothers Radio, and you know, as it always does, you get into the Word of God, the Holy Spirit takes over, and you're sitting there and you're going, man, oh man, the time has flown by, and all of a sudden, we almost said ex-nay the last commercial, but we had to go ahead and go that route anyway. All right, brother, let's...
One last thought. So, we've got to choose whether we're going to turn towards God or turn from Him, and when you lay on your head on your pillow, that's a great moment to surrender it all once again to Jesus.
Amen. Let me pray for all of us right now. Father, I just thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for your direction. I thank you how it pierces our hearts, Father, after it's gone through ears that have been opened, Father. I thank you for the love that you bestow upon us, Father. Bless my brothers and sisters who are listening to the show, Father. Give them discernment, wisdom, and guidance through the remainder of this day. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. There is hope, and you are not alone.